You are listening to We Saw the Devil, an investigative and conversational true crime podcast that deep dives into fascinating criminal cases that are solved, unsolved, or ongoing. From America's Lori Vallow to Germany's Armin Mivas, we examine and discuss the world's most shocking cases. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to follow us online. Check us out at WeSawTheDevil.com and We Saw the Devil on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And don't forget, you can become part of the show by backing us on Patreon. Hello, everyone. You are listening to We Saw the Devil. This is Robin, and today's episode is going to be a doozy. But before we get into that, let's get some of our housekeeping out of the way. Of course, you can find us at WeSawTheDevil.com for our website. You can also listen to full episodes on our website. Furthermore, you can follow us on social media at WeSawTheDevil across all platforms. Third, if you are liking the show, loving the show, and want to become part of it and support us, you can do so on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/WeSawTheDevil, where for as little as $3 a month, you can support the show and get some benefits in return. More recently, we are planning movie nights and game nights together. We have postcards, merch, stickers, and things like that. And lastly, I'm super excited to announce that I'm going to be doing a collaboration with Jules from the Riddle Me That podcast and Brett from the Prosecutors podcast. We are going to be discussing my favorite movie of all time, the French film Martyrs. So be on the lookout for that over the next couple weeks. I'm really excited to be going on and doing a collaboration with these two, who have amazing podcasts, by the way. So if you haven't checked out the Prosecutors with Brett, or Riddle Me That with Jules, then I highly suggest you do so. Pretty short and sweet today, guys. If you hear any weird noises, weird gremlin noises behind me, that is Jupiter. For those of you who are new to the show, Jupiter is our new mascot. He is a German short hair pointer puppy who is the sweetest thing in the entire world when he is not trying to bite my tit. So let's get into today's episode, guys. I have found it. I have found the one case. I have found the holy grail of true crime mysteries. My ew threshold has finally been reached, breached, and overreached, because if you know me at all, you know that I love a good gory story. I love it. It does not bother me. I like more extreme films because of it. Like, I'm one of those people. I want to know the gritty details. I don't even know how I can, in good faith, continue doing this podcast solely because there will never be anything more disturbing than this character that we will be discussing this evening. Have you ever come across anything so shockingly vile that you had no other option than to keep reading about it? Well, that happened to me the other night, and I just had to go down this entire rabbit hole at about 3 a.m. This man is in his own class, a god among men, and a hero among culinary experts. Gordon Ramsay weeps at the feet of this man. The case I present to you guys today is the story of Terrare, an 18th century Frenchman whose literal appetite knew absolutely zero bounds. I know I've been going a little hard on France lately, as our last episode was about the Marquis de Sade, but bear with me on this one. I promise that you will not be disappointed. Terrare was born in 1772 in the countryside city of Lyon to your average farming peasants. They were farmers. There was nothing really spectacular or particularly special or strange about Terrare as a child. All appeared normal, he helped around the farm, and he seemed to have a relatively strong, although lanky, build. He was incredibly thin, but the weird thing is that he had loose skin that hung all around his stomach and sides. He had so much loose hanging skin that he could literally tie it in a knot around his waist like a belt. He had very soft brown hair and was of average height. By the age of 17, Terrare could eat his entire body weight in a single day, 100 pounds of food. He weighed roughly, I think the highest number was 107 pounds. His mouth was so large that he could hold over 10 eggs in his mouth at one time. He had this ravenous hunger that he could just not control, and he would actually frequently eat a quarter of a whole cow by himself in one sitting. When his father would take one to slaughter, he would actually eat raw. I mean, as it was slaughtered, a quarter of a cow in one sitting. Quite literally, he was eating his parents out of house and home. So what does every God-fearing French peasant family do when they can no longer afford their child's food consumption? They pack their bags and tell them to get out. They banished him. And guys, this story is not going to have a happy ending, so don't get your hopes up about him being like taken in by a monk or an academic who turns him into something grand. He ended up meeting carnival workers, small-time criminals, and sex workers. So he and his new friends would travel all around the French countryside, popping up tents and performing a sideshow. Tirare was the main attraction. He would start swallowing various objects, and as the crowd became more and more distracted and entranced, his friends would then file through the crowds and pick pockets. I mean, who among us wouldn't be transfixed by a man who was eating stones and then finishing off a bag of 40 to 50 apples in one sitting? And the thing is, he did this to satisfy his hunger. It wasn't just some sideshow ability that he had. He was this hungry. I mean, I know the feels and everything, but his hunger was so uncontrollable and never ending that he would be starving even after eating rocks, cloth, and 3 dozen apples. So thinking that he would make more money and thus get more food, he traveled to Paris in search of better feeding opportunities. He left his friends behind and then just decided to make himself into a solo showman. He was successful in Paris by all accounts, but there was a problem. He smelled so bad, like bad, like someone just had IBS in a hot car on a Phoenix day kind of bad. People could not stand to get near him because his body odor was that terrible. And on hot Paris days, he would overheat to the point where onlookers claimed that they could actually see stench vapors rising off of his body. Did any of you guys watch Ren and Stimpy back in the early 90s? That was one of my favorite cartoons as a kid. And they had the green smell and molten vapors coming off when they wanted to portray that something smelled bad. That's literally what people saw when they looked at him. His I'll Eat Anything, Bro show became the talk of all of Paris, and he became a local celebrity. But then European history struck again, and the War of the First Coalition happened. So Tirare decided to end his act and join the French army in 1792. Now, most of us are thinking, oh, good for him. But no, he actually almost died in the military. Not from war or famine, but from starvation. Because military rations aren't known for being generous. He began a downward spiral of weakness as soon as he joined his unit, and he worsened to the point of being admitted into a local army hospital. Dr. George Didier and Dr. Corville, the two physicians looking after him, gave him 4 rations of food in one sitting, but Tirare was still famished. Because everything else seemed to be in working order, the doctors had no answer. So Tirare had to get creative. He decided to steal scraps off of other soldiers' plates, eat leather, and then when he got really hungry, ate the unused bandages used to treat injured and fallen soldiers. And despite all of this, he weighed only 100 pounds. And his unassuming appearance got the military thinking. Instead of being a waste of space, maybe he would be useful. So they decided to run some tests. First, they set him down and had him eat 15 full rations. A meal that would have fed 15 people. They didn't think that he would finish it, but he ate all 15 plates and then asked for more. And he got more. And if you're an animal lover, you may need to pause it right here for about 10 seconds because they gave him a live, full-grown cat. Tirare ate it without blinking and then burped up the fur and the skin. It was a terrifying sight, and a lot of onlookers actually remarked that it was disgusting because his mouth was so large, because he could nearly unhinge his jaw, and he looked like a snake devouring its prey. And the experiments continued. The doctors decided that cat ladies basically weren't the only group that they wanted to piss off, so they decided to throw in a few more. Live puppies, snakes, lizards, more cats and kittens. The kicker came when doctors handed him a 2-foot-long live thrashing eel. Tirare picked it up, placed it down his throat right into his stomach. Like, ugh. After they were satisfied at Tirare's skill in devouring pretty much anything that they gave him, they decided to throw him into the war effort and make his talents useful. And what better way to do that than by making him a messenger and sending him across enemy lines? What goes in must come out. And after all, it would pretty much reduce the danger of sending letters, battle plans, and whatever actual physical documentation across enemy lines via a person. So the Army of the Rhine's commanders gave him top secret military documents, which he ate in one go. In order to reward him for his efforts, they, one night for dinner, gave him 30 pounds of raw cow organs, like hearts, lungs, and livers, in a wheelbarrow. And he finished the entire wheelbarrow. So the French army sent him on his way to Prussia. His mission was to blend in as a German peasant and make his way to a contact behind enemy lines. But here's the thing. He had no formal education whatsoever, no culture, and he didn't know German at all. So he stuck out like a sore thumb, wasn't able to speak the language, and promptly got arrested by the Prussians. And the Prussians were ruthless. They stripped him of his clothing and beat him almost for 24 hours straight. And our man Tarari caved, admitted to being a spy, and described how and why he was sent there. And the Prussians were like, whoa, WTF, we've got to see this. So they chained him to a toilet and waited for him to expel the secret document. Now, there are two versions of what transpired next, and no one really knows which one actually did happen. In the first version of events, Tarari poops out the documents, but then immediately eats them again, as it's encased in his own feces. Like, he literally pooped mouth. In the second version, he managed to pass the documents and the Prussians got a hold of them, only to discover that it was just a test, that the French army hadn't actually entrusted Tarare with secret documents. It had only been pieces of scrap paper. They just wanted to test his resolve and ability to be a faithful spy. So either way, whichever happened, they ended up beating him some more. And they withheld food, so Tarari got sicker and sicker and sicker. Finally, the general just decided to say, screw it, let's get rid of him and execute him. And in a massive production, they marched him up to the gallows, up on the platform, they put a noose around his neck, and then basically said, haha, just kidding, and took him down. And they ended up tossing him back across the border of France, and Moore said, don't let us catch you here again. Lucky to be alive, Tarari had nowhere else to go. So he went back to the army doctors who had been using him as a lab rat. He wanted to cure his condition. He was tired of living like he was. And so they tried everything from laudanum, tobacco pills, water pills, vinegar, and finally a diet entirely comprised of soft-boiled eggs. But nothing worked. Because the treatment wasn't working, he would sneak out in the middle of the night to scrounge for food. He would fight with stray dogs over scraps, and if there were no scraps, he would just eat the dog. He would break into bakeries and butcher shops and absolutely clean them out. He was arrested, and he was actually put right into a civilian hospital. He didn't even go to prison or jail. He ended up being seen by a doctor by the name of Percy, Baron Percy. And Dr. Percy decided to make Tarare more or less his life work, his life study. But he, too, could not figure out how to satisfy Tarare's hunger. And an all-time low happened when Tarare found a new food source while living at the medical center. Now, when a patient would go in for a procedure or get their blood taken, Tarare would rush over to them, to their bedside, and literally affix himself to their bloody wound or vein like some weird French Dracula. He would literally drink the blood straight out of their bodies. But that was conditional and depended on the status of patients, so he had to find something more filling and lucrative. So that's when he decided to tiptoe right through the tulips and sneak down into the hospital's morgue. And he ate and consumed the dead bodies. Once, he devoured almost an entire man in one single night. So cannibalism was clearly on the menu now. After he got his introductory course out of the way, no pun intended, he escalated. This is not confirmed, but the timing is pretty suspect, and it's pretty much widely regarded as fact. One day, a 14-month-old baby came into the hospital to be seen by a doctor and ended up having to stay overnight. That night, both the 14-month-old baby and Tarare disappeared. Now, he went into hiding for over 4 years, and no one heard a peep as to his whereabouts. That was until he turned up in Versailles near death from tuberculosis. And doctors tried to help him, but he was completely beyond hope. In fact, he only lived for an additional month. And during this time, his ex-doctor, Dr. Percy, probably his only friend, would frequently go visit him. After a particularly intense bout of gastrointestinal upset, Tarare ended up passing away in 1798 at the age of 26 years old. Now, you can imagine that doctors just couldn't wait to get their scalpels into him, and that's exactly what happened. It's autopsy time. As soon as the first doctor made the initial incision, they made a horrifying discovery. His entire body was filled with pus. That was the source of the stench. And here's an actual note from his autopsy. Quote, "The entrails were putrefied, confounded together, and immersed in pus. The liver was excessively large, void of consistence, and in a putrescent state. The gallbladder was of considerable magnitude, the stomach in a lax state, and having ulcerated patches dispersed about it, covered almost the whole of the abdominal region." The doctors were so disgusted and affected by the stench that they struggled to breathe, but they did make some interesting findings. First, his stomach was absolutely enormous, as they said in the autopsy excerpt. It was so large that it filled his entire abdominal cavity. And that is something that a lot of people remarked, is even from when he was a small child, all of that loose skin, he was thin and lanky, but after he ate, his stomach would bulge in this huge bulb, like almost cartoonishly so. Second, his throat was huge, like absolutely huge. So huge that he could actually hold a dozen eggs in his mouth and down his, like in his mouth and throat. And third, his jaw, as mentioned earlier, witnesses said that it looked like he was a snake, like he could unhinge his jaw to eat things. Well, his jaw could unhinge to the point where one doctor who performed the autopsy attested, quote, "A cylinder a foot in circumference would be introduced without touching the palate." So unfortunately, the smell got the better of the doctors, and they ended up abandoning the autopsy midway through, never completing it. So that is as much information as anyone really has on the state of Tarare's autopsy. And that's it. That's the story, guys. I don't know about you, but my gag reflexes reading about this actually kicked in a couple times. Modern doctors have looked back at this case and many attempts to diagnose our dear medical marvel, Tarare. But so far, the most popular theory seems to be that he suffered from a very extreme form of hyperthyroidism. And they arrived at this conclusion by some information that has been passed down through history. Very, very soft hair, thin hair. He was lightweight, lanky stature, and he also became overheated on otherwise cool or even cold days. So extreme weight loss or maintaining a low weight, abnormally big appetite, excessive sweating and thin hair are the hallmarks of hyperthyroidism. Another possibility is that he suffered from a rare disease called polyphagia or hyperphagia, and that condition consists of experiencing an extreme amount of hunger that doesn't subside even if you eat more or in greater amounts of food. One thing, however, has been almost guaranteed, and that's that he likely had parasites. Probably pretty badly, actually, because in his lifetime, he ate thousands of pounds of raw meat and live animals. He started out with cows on the farm and then graduated to live kittens and puppies and all the cute things, eels. And his favorite food, his absolute favorite food that he actually wrote, he wrote this himself, his favorite food was snake. So, you know, he was on top of everything else, riddled with, you know, ulcers and pus and parasites. So fun times, a fun story, but I had never heard of this. And I was just reading the article, just like, what in the world? Next week, I have a Lori Vallo, not so much update as answering listener questions. I've gotten a lot of emails from you guys when I turned it out to you about submit things pertaining to the Lori Vallo case that you want to discuss or go over more in depth. So I have a whole host of those. Again, I will be collaborating with Jules and Brett from Riddle Me That podcast and the Prosecutors podcast that will be coming out in the near future. I'm going to be working with the group Rising Above Love Has Won to do a series on Love Has Won, because more just horrifyingly sad news keeps coming out of Colorado, out of their compound. And then I'm actually going to start tackling some of the hometown murders that you guys have submitted to us on across social media and email. Thank you so much for listening. I know this is a short and sweet one, but I had to get this case out of my system. It's kind of like, if I have to see it, then all of you do too. That's it for today, guys. Thank you again. You can find us at WeSellTheDevil.com and WeSellTheDevil across all social media. And if you're enjoying the show, check us out at Patreon.com/WeSellTheDevil. And as always, if you're enjoying the show, titty slap that subscribe button on whatever podcast platform you use to listen to podcasts. Until next crime.